Hey, what's going on, all you late staying up grandkids? This is a special audio for StunGranny.com. Of course, this is a review of WWE Night of Champions. God, what a flat pay-per-view that we're going to talk about here. We being myself, Eric, and then Kevin is also here. Kevin, what's up?
Hello, yes, flat. Like the landscape in Ohio, flat.
And then Jordan Smith is also here. What's up, man?
Hello, what is up?
Of course.
I have nothing to add to that.
It means flat.
I was going to say flat as something else, but then I caught myself, so.
Naughty, naughty.
Yes.
The flatness I was referring to, of course, is the crowd reaction for the entire night, some of the anticlimactic finishes, but I guess we'll talk about that as we go.
Yep.
And for everyone, I guess I really, you know, I could have saved this for when we were on the air, but I said this to both of you guys. Kevin and I decided before we did the TNA, what the hell was that show last week or 2 weeks ago?
Victory Road.
Victory Road, that's right. before
Celebration
we did that,
Avenue.
Yeah, I said that we could keep it short, and then, of course, we ended up ranting about everything. Well, this show wasn't nearly as bad, so we're going to keep the ranting to a bare minimum and probably keep this show pretty short, too. But we can start with a show that's not short, The Big Show.
Oh, nice. I see what you did there.
Chris Jericho.
Nothing sneaky like that.
Chris Jericho comes to the ring. Well, he needs to defend his tag team belts, of course. He doesn't have a tag team partner because Edge is injured. And so what does he do? Of course, everyone wants him to team up with The Miz, but he's the smart thing and teams up with a man who's 7.5 feet tall and 3,000 pounds. The Big Show! And they retain the unified tag team belt against Cody Rhodes and Ted DiBiase. So, let's see. Jordan, I know I specifically mentioned this to you, so I'll start with you. What'd you think of Big Show's outfit tonight?
Oh my God, he looked like the world's largest blueberry. It was, I was trying to think of what else. I couldn't quite figure out what it was. It was a nice hue of blue. I'm not sure what it was, and it wasn't his usual, like, singlet. Or, like, you know, one strap deal. So, oh God. He was fashionable.
Kevin, is this going to end up in your Art of Wrestling review sometime soon?
I will try to avoid it to the best of my abilities unless I'm bashing it just with one line. It is not going to get it's going to get less print than fabric that he uses to fucking put those outfits together.
It's going to get less space than the amount it takes to cover his growing, expanding waist.
Yes.
The vast waistband.
The vast waistband, yep.
I don't know. I guess a couple things that kind of stood out to me were that the crowd in Philadelphia decided to start chanting Y2J early in the match.
Oh, yes. Try to hear them cover that up, too. You know,
yeah, remind me again, what did they say to try to cover that up?
Oh, God. It was the reprehensible actions of Legacy that led them to chant Y2J.
Right.
Yeah, because anybody gives two damns what they do. So,
yeah.
Oh my God, I think it was something like that.
Yeah, no, that's exactly it. So,
oh,
I,
God,
I, whatever. The
yeah.
Crowd, they only reacted to two things all night, and they chanted Y2J, and then they cheered for the last match. But
right.
But otherwise, Kevin, I don't know. Overall, thoughts on this match?
It existed. You know, it's just, I don't understand why anybody ever tags out for the Big Show. You know what I mean? It's just like, just let him in there the whole goddamn time, really. Especially against Cody Rhodes, who's a buck 85 soaking wet. It's just like, come on. The guy weighs like three times as much as him.
Yeah.
Just let him squash him.
Yep.
God, yeah, I really don't recall anything else worth a shit happening in this match.
No, I just think the crowd was a little, you know, I don't know why people get their hopes up for mystery partners or mystery anything. I think it kind of set the crowd off on the wrong foot. I think they were hoping for somebody more special. Not that Big Show was a bad choice, really, but doesn't really make any sense with how things have been going, so
I
think already...
As far as size and athletics and, okay, well, sorry, size. I think the athletics.
Size.
As far as that logic goes, I mean, I suppose he would be the guy that you'd want to be your tag team partner. An unbeatable giant, except for the fact that he's been beaten a million times.
Million times, yeah.
But yeah, like Kevin, like you said, I guess when you're matched up against two guys at a total combined weight of 300 pounds, then that's logical. I don't know. I mean, that's whatever. I'm more interested in moving on to the next thing that happened
yep.
on the pay-per-view than talking about the rest of this garbage match.
Yep.
Josh Matthews is backstage interviewing CM Punk, who decided to grab the microphone and go off and cut a heel promo out in the crowd. Kevin, well, what do you think of CM Punk healing it up on the old pay-per-view here?
He was cracking my shit up. Of course, it was the second of 3 points that said, oh, yeah, by the way, he is definitely losing tonight. The first one being the GTS that he gave Jeff Hardy at the end of SmackDown.
Right.
This was the second, just like, oh, boy. And the third was the fifth match of the night. So we shall get that when that comes.
Well, if nothing else, that's smarter booking, and it's, I guess, more traditional booking, like all good Torch and Torch writers love. I don't know. the heel, you know, gets one up on the babyface right before the pay-per-view, so the babyface has a reason to you know, really get his win back or get his whatever back to the heel. So I guess that being said, Jordan, what about you? What were your opinions of good old Punk?
No, I was really impressed. I think the Punk heel turn kind of get to see Punk as almost his as nature intended, kind of the arrogant asshole, the holier than thou. And Philly, of course, ate it up. Not drinking, not smoking. The whole the preaching thing was just it was great. It pointed out he's doing is telling the truth in the perfect heel way.
And, of course, I think you said a key word there. You said preaching. Obviously, we don't expect CM Punk to start, you know, turning into Reverend Slick here.
No.
Called, like, literally Reverend. Preaching to the crowd. But if you're going to turn a crowd like Philly against CM Punk, that's the best way to do it, is to have him, like, lecturing them. Because you know, you're right, he's telling the truth. And, of course, Philly fans would cheer something like that. But then when he starts going off on things like, you know, it's your parents. Oh, wait, I mean parents.
Yep, and a call for a drug-free America at the end was fantastic, too.
I think the Stunt Granny crew agrees with that.
Yep.
Wholeheartedly.
Oh, my God. No, that was fantastic. Good. We got some mic time on the pay-per-view. That was awesome. Oh, Lord. Well, speaking of addictions, Tommy Dreamer walked out of down to the ring with about 23 Little Debbies in his pocket. Only to lose the ECW title to Christian in about 9 minutes. Jordan?
I don't know. I've seen variations of that match 84,000 times. It would have a hard time keeping my interest as a main event on Superstars. It was just for a guy who wrestled his whole life in Philly, it was a pretty tepid reaction to him. More people cared about Christian because most of the crowd there, I think, other than the 8 people who shouted "We want puppies," knew nothing of Tommy Dreamer. They only sort of know Christian, so they just go for the guy who didn't look like he ate an entire bag of hair. So,
right.
So yeah. Chocolate covered hair.
Well, he would.
Yeah.
Kevin, I mean, here's Tommy Dreamer hitting his cannonball off the apron again, and here's Christian hitting his springboard over to the top rope to the floor. I mean, what'd you think of this 8-minute and 35-second rerun?
Well, I just like the fact that you came up with a funnier joke than Abraham Washington did in 2 consecutive fucking shows. Fucking Tommy Dreamer on him.
Let him never be spoken of again.
And really, the most memorable thing in this match was Matt Stryker trying to, after talking up Tommy Dreamer doing his whole shtick in Philadelphia there, And then, obviously, Christian getting more of a reaction, he's like, well, maybe more people care about Christian. It's just like, no, they do. I mean, you're live. You can't auto-tune this one, guys.
I think this smacks of the WWE's PG rating and the fact that they're trying to pander to children because, you know, even 5 years ago when the crowd would turn on one of the baby faces, they really wouldn't try to make excuses, but I mean, this is like the second or third example of that we've mentioned tonight of the announcers trying to cover for the crowd.
Mm-hmm.
It's like, you will cheer Hacksaw Jim Duggan, whether you like him or not. You will boo Bad News Brown, motherfucker.
Top guy.
Yeah.
Yeah. I just, and also I noticed, I think they said WWE Universe 7 times in that match. I think it was just like the WWE Universe this. It wasn't even like the fans. It was just the whole, you know, the whole kit and caboodle. And it was, you could tell they were just reading off the corporate lines, and it just, like, the whole thing just had no emotion. The guys didn't care that much. So. So.
Yeah, I guess the only thing positive that I will say is that at least Christian has the belt now.
Yep,
I mean,
I agree.
You know, he's better off with it. Fucking Dreamer really killed that belt, so let's get it on someone that can do something with it.
Yeah, exactly. I think Dreamer got it for the nostalgia purposes, and now Christian is actually going to carry the brand. I don't know. I wouldn't wish that on my third worst enemy. But... whatever.
Setting up for future feuds with Gold Dust and Shelton Benjamin.
Yeah, how awesome will that be? all right, let's see. Third match of the show was the six. Are they calling this a six-pack challenge? I can't remember if they call it that or not.
Six-pack of adult beverage challenge.
Right, yeah, and none of these guys, maybe Jack Swagger drinks, I don't know. maybe The Miz has a Cosmopolitan once in a while.
A Choco-tini.
Yeah. Carlito has a fruity rum drink here and there.
Hey, don't knock those.
Oh, yeah. We're poking up. Oh, he probably has a bigger one, man. It's the rum in a barrel.
Yep.
My God. So Kofi, Jack Swagger, Carlito, Primo, The Miz, MVP, not The Big Show, not Evan Bourne. And Kofi comes out on top with the U.S. title, retaining his belt in 6 minutes and 40 seconds.
Oh, God.
God. Six guys only get to wrestle 7 minutes. Jordan, you sound like you already have something to say.
Oh, God. Well, you know, for whatever reason, they took Evan Bourne out of the match. Never explained why. He was in the, like, 2 weeks ago, and then now he just didn't. I was okay with Primo in there. But also, it's like, if you're going to turn the colognes against each other, don't just put them in a random match where they cooperate through half the match. It just... and just so many things happening, too many controlled frenzies, too much, you know, Jesus Christ, too much Jack Swagger, like, you could just tell that WWE's in love with Jack Swagger, and he stood out in no discernible way. It was just, it did absolutely nothing for anyone or the belt or anything, especially when Tommy Dreamer and Christian go 2 minutes longer,
right.
So... it wasn't bad. I mean, I enjoyed the 7 minutes. It just kind of irked me.
Kevin, were you irked or were you not as irked?
Well, I think Jeremy and I said exactly what this is going to be. It was going to be like a six-man spot festival, basically.
Yes.
You know, like, everybody got their turn to show off their offense, and really, I can't believe it was only 7 minutes, really. Oh, my God. I guess I didn't think it was quite that short.
Yeah, they squeezed 100 pounds of shit into a 50-pound bag. I mean, I was, like, a couple of minutes into the match, Jack Swagger hits a gut-wrench powerbomb, and I'm like, wow, that did not take long. This doesn't bode well for the actual flow of the match. And then, of course, MVP gets his ball in. And
well, and you listen to the crowd reaction with the ball in. That guy, like, they want that guy to, you know, be put on top, but he's not doing, you know. He's stuck where he always is, and they're going to push Jack Swagger because he's 6'3" and blonde. So, or, excuse me, 6'3". So, yeah, I don't know.
Yeah, total nonstop action.
Yep.
Pretty much.
To paraphrase what Powell said and what Vince Russo said 7 years ago. Let's see. Josh Matthews backstage interviews Randy Orton and yeah, whatever.
Next.
Michelle McCool, possibly the lamest women's champion in history, including
Hervina,
yeah. Sends Melina, the worst babyface in women's wrestling history, to retain the women's title. I believe, Jordan, I think I said this to you. I think you said something like, and nobody cares. And, mm-hmm. and I said, and judging by the look on Melina's face, even she doesn't care.
Yep. Oh, man.
I don't know. Kevin is... I don't even know what to say to some of this shit other than just say your guys' names in a questioning tone and then you'll take off.
Well, it's because there really isn't anything to say.
No, I was actually shocked by, and I agree that nobody cared, but I was shocked by the quality of the match.
Like, good quality?
Like good or bad, yeah.
I thought it was good. You know, I thought that they looked kind of harsh, kind of smacking each other around. I was like,
yeah.
Oh,
it did.
Wow. This is way exceeding my expectations.
Yeah,
but
on the surface.
Nobody cares about either of them.
No, nobody. I mean, the whole point of that was setting up for the next match to, like, you know, the crowd was too riled up from seeing a random ECW title match and a six-man in 7 minutes, so they had to calm them down with a – how long was this, Eric? Six, 7 minutes? Eight?
16 seconds, says Jason Powell.
Okay. Yep. And the crowd, like, I mean, it just fell off a cliff. I was impressed with how stiff they were being with each other, how hard they were hitting each other with the, like, kind of reminded me of the old Trish Victoria, but only in the hitting and not any of the wrestling.
Not the wrestling, not the story behind it, not the drama,
no.
Emotion, not the crowd interest, not anything
else. Not anything. It was more like Jazz versus Ivory then, I guess.
Really? I would attribute that to Melina not knowing how to wrestle. So she just beats people up, and of course no one likes her, so they just beat her up too. This is not the first match that Melina's been in where, when she fought Mickie James a few years ago, those two were going at it tooth and nail because they didn't like each other. So, there you go. Let's stir up the hornet's nest. Let's get these bitches to hate each other and have some
matches. That's about the only highlight.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I don't know. That's
really all that needs to be talked about. I mean, I think we've covered just about everything in that match.
You're right.
Yes.
So, match number 5 on the show, and this was, Kevin, you mentioned this. This was one of the telltale signs, you said. Cena and Triple H. Yeah, it's in their WrestleMania rematch from WrestleMania 24. Like it was any fucking good then. Kevin, why don't you talk about that? And you said that it was a hint of things to come also, but go ahead and talk about that as well.
Yeah, because there was no way in hell that they were going to send the crowd home all pissed off having this match then.
Mm-hmm.
So I was like, okay, yep, CM Punk for sure. That's the third nail in the coffin. Let's just go ahead and do away with the ending of that match.
Yeah.
But, this match did not get the cheer out of me that their WrestleMania match got, to be completely honest with you. I was completely and utterly shocked in Orlando when Randy Orton made the pin.
I was
and
too,
I
but
fucking
not...
popped like a madman.
That's right. I remember that. You and Jeremy, I think, both went batshit when that happened.
Yeah, and this one, when Jared and I did the preview this morning, I said I just really see Orton retaining it. Like, Cena and Triple H played way too nice with each other at the end of Raw there, so I was like, okay.
Yep. To me, it was like a greatest hit match. It was like little bits of this match, little bit of that one, little of this, like play the medley. And nobody cared. The crowd like sort of got into Cena a little bit, just booing at first. And then Triple H got a semi-reaction. Orton got semi. And then as the match went on, nobody cared. Nobody was cheering for pinfall or for near falls or anything. It just sort of, and then as the match went on, it just got quieter and quieter. The finish got a nice little reaction, but that was about it.
Right.
Just, well, I think because last year it was at Night of Champions, it was Cena and Hunter. And then we've seen Cena and Orton a million times. We've seen Orton and Triple H a million times. It's just...
Well, here's an analogy that I made earlier, and I'm going to sort of rephrase it, which no one's going to fucking know that this needs to be rephrased because I said it on Messenger. These three have wrestled each other in some combination so many goddamn times since approximately September of 2004. The way I liken it, and that's 5 years, okay? We're pushing 5 years of the same people, same feuding on top. Think of it as one big match, and the boring Triple H versus the boring Randy Orton is sort of the feeling out process of the match. And then fast forward a little while to Triple H and John Cena, WrestleMania, where you start to shift gears a little bit and you start to throw in a high spot here and a tackle, drop down, leapfrog, drop kick here and a hip toss there. Right now, 5 years later, if we're still using the this is one match analogy, now they're in that kind of boring, like, shifting into neutral Randy Orton chin lock sort of phase. And it's like, I can't wait until 2014 when these two finally go to the fucking finish. This is horrendous. I'm sick of this shit. Kevin, any thoughts on that analogy?
I like it.
First one to L falls wins. Yep.
I just hope the Mayan calendar ends this shit before these guys do.
Yeah, I guess.
The only thing that was mildly interesting that I will remember, that a referee finally made kind of the right call during a match.
Oh, yeah.
Instead of having the dumb, oh, let's hold the title up bullshit, they at least, the ref's like, well, fuck, I don't know which move he's tapping to, so I can't really call for the bell.
Yeah.
You know what? I would honestly at least prefer the way they handled that as opposed to holding up the belt, which would be completely fucking, that'd be fucktarded.
Isn't that how Jericho and Benoit won the tag belts from Triple H and Austin, the sharpshooter and crossface? I think
that's the positive thing there is that it was a tag team match, so you could definitely declare a winner. In this case, the referee would have been declaring a loser.
Right, I know. No, I was all right with it.
Yeah, like I said, you know, you could have had co-champions, which, you know, Jericho and China pulled off so well back in 2000 or whatever it was.
And then they can defend it against Bob Holly.
Oh, for God's sake. There's your triple threat match for breaking point.
That's my breaking point.
Yeah, Triple H, John Cena, and Sparkplug Holly.
Oh, man.
But, yeah, no, that's a good point. You're right, Kevin. The referee pretty much did make the right call. Since you really should not make the call for the loser, you should determine who the winner is going to be. And if there is no way to determine it, then yeah, I guess logically, again, that was the right choice. It's strange to see them make the right choice, which is maybe why, you know, it's like, huh? What's the... Oh,
yeah, we were both... Eric and I were, like, kind of confused because it made sense.
Right. Exactly. Never thought I'd see the day where shit that makes sense confuses me, but whatever. let's see. The Miz, Maurice, yeah, whatever.
Maurice.
Oh, this is classic. Chili... The C of TLC was in the crowd with her son, and her son's name was what, Jordan?
Tron.
Like
Tron. Like the fucking video game. His name was Tron.
Like Dave Chappelle's character on Chappelle's Show.
Yeah, exactly.
And then, how did Michael Cole say that exactly?
He said he was a big member of TLC. I mean, there was Tron is a huge member, and then it was a pause, and then it said of the WWE Universe or whatever.
Yeah, that's it. God. I want to find that exactly because I...
Yeah, find out what you said to me because it was perfect because it was somewhere in there.
That was before Mickey James.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, that's right. So he introduces Tron in the crowd and then says, "What a huge member of the WWE Universe he is."
Oh man, one thing I want to go back to in that one match where the WWE title match was, how much they were pushing that belt and how important it was compared to any other belt. So they basically buried their own main event. They were talking about there's no more important belt in the WWE than this belt, et cetera, and the lineage, and yeah, just kind of irked me too.
Yeah, it dates back to Buddy Rogers, you know.
Ooh.
But yeah, so okay, between that and between, like Kevin said, the blatantly obvious foreshadowing of what was going to happen, it's like, I suppose now these three can continue to say that their match was the main event of the pay-per-view, and rah, rah, rah.
Yeah.
All right, what the hell was next? Oh, Mickey James.
Oh God.
Maurice. And this makes Mickey James the second woman to hold both the Divas Championship and the Women's Championship. And Jordan, you said what to that idea?
I said unify, because of the way Michael Cole said it made it sound like they're going to have a unification match, because God knows we don't need two women right now holding the world title and the Bratz title. We don't need that. So just combine them and have a match that no one will give a crap about sometime during Breaking Point or whatever, Hot Fudge Sunday or whatever their pay-per-view is called.
Kevin, another women's match, and in my opinion, this is a good match too, but
yeah.
What did you think?
Yeah, it was solid, and I guess, honestly, up until this match, I guess I hadn't realized how horrendous the crowd was.
Oh, yeah.
You know, for some reason, like, I don't know, maybe I was just paying too much attention to the fucking baseball game or something, but this match, I was like, good Lord, is this crowd horrendous.
Yeah.
And, they just didn't, they could have given a shit less.
Isn't this when
match.
I started talking to Eric about hamburgers? I think it was, too. So.
Yeah, Kuma in Chicago.
Kuma's Corner, oh my God, the best burger I've ever eaten. But anyway.
No, there is no but anyway, because during the TNA review, Kevin and I started talking about lasagna, so I see no reason not to talk about burgers.
Oh my God, I went to Chicago on Tuesday, saw a band called Psychedelic Horseshit, and it was awesome. It was like an hour and a half of drunken noise. But we went into to Kuma's Corner in Chicago on Belmont, and oh my God, they have bourbon on tap, like three different kinds of bourbon. So good. I had Woodman's Reserve, which I think I had three of those. Too bad they were $8 a piece. But still, the burger was unbelievable. I could have eaten 10 different burgers. I got about 75% of the way through it and didn't think I was going to finish, but I was afraid of letting the burger down because it was so good. I didn't want to disappoint the hamburger, so I finished it. Almost made myself sick, but it was worth every penny or every second of it, every penny spent. Every burger is named after a heavy metal band. All they do is flare loud heavy metal.
Okay, yeah, you know what? I think I saw that place on Diners, Drive-Ins,
yep.
And Dives.
Yeah, I did too. Actually, my friend had just gone there the night before that aired and was like, he'd tell me about it, and then I was flipping channels the next morning, and there it was. So, yeah, it's great.
Cool.
So, that's
and
a must for everybody.
Right now. I'm warning all of our listeners that the weekend of September 6th and 7th, the plans are tentative, but they are tentatively becoming less tentative. Dragon Gate is in Chicago on Sunday, September 6th, and Monday Night Raw is in Chicago on Monday, September 7th. I'm going. I just found out that I got another assistantship at Iowa, so I'll have money coming in.
I'm going.
Zero money coming in that I thought I was going to have. So anyone in the area or anyone out of the area, if you wanted to do that, I think we're going to make a big weekend out of Chicago.
Oh, hell yeah, we are.
So, okay.
Okay, sorry.
Everybody. Oh, this is good too. The continued burying of Ted DiBiase and Cody Rhodes. An interview backstage where they said, "I mean, it's okay that we lost the tag team title match because Randy Orton retained the belt."
nobody's going to care, is what he said. Nobody's going to remember.
Yeah.
Oh, God.
No one's going to remember our match from the pay-per-view.
Well, and I also love that Cody Rhodes, who got the RKO and the finish of the main of, or in the world title, or the WWE title, the Orton match, showed no ill effects of it.
Yeah. Brilliant.
Wait, so just bury as many things as you can.
Yep. Okay. Let me preface this with a question quick, Kevin. You watch SmackDown pretty often, right?
Yeah, weekly, fortunately, actually.
Fortunately, yeah.
Yes.
Let me ask you this then, because I get to catch it sporadically. Sometimes if I'm out of town, if I have a gig, that's one thing. If I'm in a town that doesn't have a CW or a My Network TV market, then I'm screwed out of it, too. Rey Mysterio beats Dolph Ziggler in almost 15 minutes to retain the Intercontinental belt. Maria came to the ring with Dolph Ziggler. Now, I know that she's been tweeting about him lately, But I apologize to everybody for my naivete, but has this been going on for a while? Has Maria been coming down to the ring with Dolph Ziggler for a while now or not?
Not coming down to the ring.
Hmm.
I think she came down this past episode that aired on Friday.
Okay.
But they have been, she's been wishing him luck and whatnot, so they've kind of been... Oh, what? And they came out of an electrical closet the one week, and, you know, his
Ooh.
Hair is all messed up. Yeah. So, yeah, they've kind of let on that they were dating, really. So, yeah, it didn't really come out of the blue, but I think this is either the first or the second time that she actually accompanied him to ringside.
Okay. I wonder what Santino thinks of that. Let me continue asking you, Kevin, then. So we got your boy from Kent State here.
I think they're contractually obligated to say that during every match that he has.
Well, it is good old JR brand. He has to talk about Kent State King. what'd you think of your fellow Golden Flash tonight?
I was fucking thoroughly impressed. I mean, I've kind of liked him just anyway, just because he's starting to look better and better in the ring, and... pretty good on the mic.
Mm-hmm.
We
may have lost Jordan, but he'll rejoin us if possible. So go ahead.
I was wondering what the fuck happened. So they did what they really needed to. This is another one. I didn't think he was going to win it.
Mm-hmm.
They let him hit Ray with just about fucking everything under the sun. I thought he pulled out some new moves. So it's kind of hard to argue with how things turned out really for him. I mean, it's kind of too early. And Jaren, this is another thing Jaren and I talked about. Ray really just got that belt back.
Mm-hmm.
So you can't really take it off him quite yet.
Mm-hmm.
And
yeah.
Plus, they can actually build up, unlike the U.S. belt match, they can actually build something out of this.
Damn it.
Hey.
Okay, I'm back. Just cut completely out on me. So.
Good timing, though. I agree. Dolph Ziggler is, for his name, taking his name into consideration for one thing, the amount of time he has been in WWE as this character, and he's kind of bounced around a little bit from Raw to SmackDown, for his lack of... contending for belts up to this point. I think this is probably the best showing for him and the right way to push him. You know, let him pretty much actually dominate the match against Mysterio, but still be overtaken by the veteran, not walk away with the belt. He's still got some character development to do. Maybe the association with Maria will help. But really, and like Jason Powell said on .net, there really isn't much to Dolph outside of introducing himself. But we're now getting flashes of him being a good wrestler and worthy of being kind of a mid-card, mid-level title guy. Jordan, any thoughts on that or anything?
No, I was actually kind of impressed. He was showing a lot of, I guess, I don't know if the right word's potential, because that's a bad word in WWE standards, but I was liking it. It was a little different, you know, other than his name and his look. It was, you know, where he's kind of a dime a dozen. He worked well with Ray. I thought it was pretty good, all things considered. It was a little long. I think it was mostly because of the crowd. The crowd just was dead, so.
Definitely. Well, I'll tell you what, let's finish this show with something that woke the crowd up. Jeff Hardy versus CM Punk. I guess I'm not surprised to see the amount of time this match was given. It was 15 minutes, and I think both of you guys said this to me on Messenger. About the time that the montage started the video package to promote the match, like, wow, they're really not giving this much time. And sure enough, once you got past introductions, and yeah, they only got 15 minutes to actually wrestle, but start things out. Punk, like both of you guys have said, he is at his heel best, or, you know, he's getting back into his heel best, looking smug, you know, chain wrestling Punk Hardy at the beginning, and then just kind of shoving him off, smirking to the crowd, stuff like that. Was awesome. Jordan, keep going from there.
Yeah, I backtracked just a hair. I love that Jim Ross, as Hardy was coming to the ring, said Jeff Hardy's face makeup, each week or each time it's on his face, has a message. And I'll be damned if I know what that message is. You can tell he's still baffled to this day by Jeff Hardy. But the crowd, you know. He was something
to the effect of, this could be Jeff Hardy's crowning moment, or it could be the professional wake of Jeff Hardy.
Mm-hmm.
I'm like, wow, that's some hard language, JR.
Yeah. Yeah, they're very strangely not happy with him leaving, but here's the please don't leave, here's your belt kind of thing.
Right.
It was a good match. It was, I think... You know, it didn't blow me away, but it was really entertaining. Punk doing everything and Jeff just getting the crowd riled up by being whatever the hell Jeff Hardy is. So,
I mean, it wasn't a WWE main event in the same way that Bret Hart versus Shawn Michaels at Survivor Series 1992 wasn't a WWF main event.
Right.
But
exactly.
It's been kind of different. Kevin, any overall thoughts on this match or anything specific to you, I suppose?
Yeah, the fact that they actually put this in the main event really was kind of a surprise to me, to be completely honest with you. I mean, I guess it showed because of what the result is and because they, you know, wanted the crowd to go home happy. But
Well, I guess it was wrong night to air everything then.
Yeah. I think the match would have been better, you know, if they had more time, because really that build up at the end, because I didn't think the crowd was even really all that lively for this match. And, you know, they really just had to pull out all the different, the GTS and everything. A couple of missed swantons and then it hit one finally there within the last maybe 5 minutes.
Oh, if that, I mean, there was probably the finish probably took 2 minutes, 3 minutes, something like that. I mean, the Punk getting his knees up on that one swanton, I thought that was pretty cool. Punk's reaction to that was classic. As far as the crowd reaction to this goes, relative to the rest of the show, they're pretty awake for this one. Relative to crowds across America in the history of pro wrestling, they're pretty damn dead overall. But some of those false finishes really woke the crowd up.
Yep.
And then, yeah, I don't know. And then whatever the message was on Jeff Hardy's face, 15 minutes later, that message was, hey, I'm the champion. I'm going to go do some mess now.
Somewhere there's a Jeff Hardy face Rosetta Stone. And colors will find it, figure out what the hell it means. You probably have to be on about 50 hits of acid, but still.
Yeah.
The whole night was kind of, there isn't enough to get riled up about. It's just so stale. I mean, the main event, the last two matches felt fresh, but by then the crowd had just died, so it was just another night. I don't know. It didn't feel like a pay-per-view by any standard.
Actually, that might be a good way to kind of wind this review up, but I think that pretty much takes care of all the matches. 8 in that show. That's a decent length pay-per-view, I suppose. Overall thoughts, I guess, Jordan, you kind of touched on them, but as far as the show goes, thumbs up, down, in the middle, 3 o'clock?
Middle, maybe middle, down. Well, I would say middle, because there's signs, but it also just also kind of proves how going nowhere the product is right now. It was kind of nice to not have, other than the six-pack challenge, which I guess is a gimmick, and it's three-way. But no, like, no tables matches. Oh, wait, no, there was a no DQ. Never mind. I was going to say there wasn't that many gimmick matches. Jesus.
Well, yeah, there's plenty of shit going on.
Two women's matches on a pay-per-view is just, and sandwich them in between a world title with between a chin lock fest, and it just sort of, it really came to a screeching halt in the middle, so.
Yeah, Kevin, same question. I don't know. Where would you put your thumbs?
Overall, I think the one thing that I would be pointing out is the fact that the last two matches were SmackDown matches.
Ooh, yeah, that's a good call.
You know, to kind of back up my this is another point that I made to Jeremy, is that there's enough room for people to move around on SmackDown that, you know, even that loss that Ziggler took, you know, he still has an ability to come back.
Yeah.
Actually, worth a laugh. Yeah. Go ahead.
The guys from the six-pack challenge, they're just fucking going to blow loads on fucking Raw, unfortunately, and do a whole lot of goddamn nothing.
Yeah.
So, I think it's really, it just kind of shows off the brands and what they're worth right now. You know, I think that ECW will get better because Christian is champ now. I mean,
yeah. And Abraham Washington's there,
God. That is so unfunny. It is fucking ridiculous.
Oh, man.
Yeah.
Can't wait for Survivor
Series. Weren't the last three matches SmackDown? Wasn't the women's one before that, too?
Mickey James and...
No, wrong. I got them backward. Never mind. I was... They already mean nothing to me. Okay, continue.
I don't know why I decided to fast forward all the way to Survivor Series, but I was just thinking because, Kevin, you mentioned two SmackDown matches at the end and how Raw is kind of blah. And I thought, God, this is the... I mean, I like Christian, but Tommy Dreamer, he is what he is, but, like, this is all ECW has to offer a pay-per-view. They even put two women's matches on here. And I'm thinking, God, maybe Survivor Series will roll around and we'll get Yoshitatsu teaming up with Abraham Washington and Sheamus, whoever has Vladimir against, God only knows what they're going to come up
with. We got to have Ezekiel lead the team.
Yep. There you go. That's what I like the sound
Ezekiel
of.
Ezekiel right? Waterweight Jackson, and yeah. God, that guy's gotten huge. But
he's awesome, though. He's still scary as shit.
Ahmed Jackson.
Yeah. Cool. Well, I don't know. I think that's pretty much the show.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Cool.
Don't go out of your way to look for this DVD or anything, but whatever.
No.
If we had a WWE affiliate link on our site, I would say absolutely go buy it. But otherwise, save a trip to Best Buy. All right. Well, I think we should probably just wind it up then. So if that's all right with you guys anyway.
Yep.
All right.
Yep.
Cool. Say my goodbyes, so let's do these in a round. Goodbye, folks. I'm going to go to bed and sleep this weekend off. And I'll trim this dead space.
I was waiting for Jordan.
And I was waiting for you. Aw. Goodbye. We need to do it like barbershop quartet style.
Bye.
Goodbye. Yeah. Okay.
Okie doke, grandkids, you have a good night. It's time for me to go have my sippy time beer and get my ass to bed, too. Out.
Yep, it's time for me to go have Kevin's sleepy time beer and go to sleep. All right, later. Bye.
All right, okay, then I'm going to drink a can of Hams and give myself a GPS. Bye.